the football sack.
Yes, it's that time of week again, the sack on Sunday. Oh, well, I'm upset, Pete.
You're upset. There. That's not very good. Why are you upset?
Well, why do you think?
No need to be upset.
Well, the Sydney FC Brisbane Roar game last night was a bit devastating for me. It's thrown me off guard. I haven't been able to do my intro properly to the sack on Sunday.
Could you sleep last night, though? That is a big question.
Could I sleep?
Could you sleep?
I actually couldn't. I was up after the game.
Did you try upset. And cry yourself to sleep?
I had a little cry. No, I didn't.
A bit of a tear.
No, I'm a man.
I punched a wall.
Did you?
No.
Because I would expect that these kind of reactions are coming out from Sydney FC fans over the next few days as they realise what effect this result has had on their team. For those of you who don't know, last night Brisbane Roar beat Sydney FC 2-1. They scored two goals in the 94th and 95th minute to defeat or cancel out Sydney FC's goal in the first half by Mike Bridge, who came back. He came back, first game back. He had a good game.
He was solid. He led the line fairly well. I guess the biggest problem was Nicky Carl in that kind of like false number nine kind of role. Mm. He roamed a bit too much to my liking. And Terry Antonis probably left one too many gaps as well. Which is a bit disappointing, but look, he is young, and credit to Sydney FC, the team looked okay. It was just Michael Beauchamp and Pascal Boschart, the boss, who, okay, I'm just putting it out there, Simon Hill, last night, during his Fox Sports commentary, said, I'm disappointed, no one's called Boschart the boss. Sorry,
have you ever talked to
a Sydney FC fan? Every Sydney FC fan calls
him the boss.
The boss, his name.
I'm pretty sure we've made the reference that he's bossed the midfield.
So obviously he doesn't listen to the Sack on Sunday.
No, obviously he doesn't listen to the Sack on Sunday, as you guys are doing, and we thank you for joining us on a Sunday, or if you are listening through the week, we thank you for listening through the week. But the news is probably a bit outdated now. You've probably all caught up on the weekend of football.
Yeah, look,
but if you haven't, keep listening.
Yeah, Berisha was abducted by aliens on Sunday night, and then
thank goodness
anal
for that.
Probed on the Monday. If that didn't happen, then that's okay. But if it did, I'm psychic.
Look, we've got a lot to get through today. We thank you for joining us. It's great to be here for another week.
Great to be back in the
let's
studio.
Let's go on with it. I want to keep talking about Sydney FC because they played some great football.
They did. For 90 minutes, they played some fantastic
football. For 90 minutes
football.
Or for at least the first half, and then they sat back.
Well, Liam Reddy was outstanding in goals. He was magnificent with his saves. He held on to everything. And look, I said in the commentary last night on Twitter, I was like, look, it's going to take something special to be able to beat Liam Reddy. And credit to Brisbane Roar, two goals, they were something really special to beat Liam Reddy.
Mm.
So,
hey, and then that resulted, didn't they?
And
the special goals came.
The special
from
goals
from Adnan. Oh my goodness, that's the first good game he's played ever in this country. I'm not sure. I haven't watched him play over in Bahrain, but over here he's been the donkey.
Well, yes,
he's been the donkey of the league.
He hasn't been the greatest, that's for sure. He has had to compete with the likes of Matty German and Matty Smith.
How has he been, like, until now, how has he held out Matt German for the spot?
No idea.
He's been playing. But last night, oh my goodness, where did that come from?
On the training
pitch.
He had
an epic game.
On the training pitch, what we're hearing is he is like this every single training session. He is dominant. He is physical. He gets involved with everything. And he's free kicks a top corner every single time at training session. But the entire season we've seen him, he's just like, oh, it's another centre back. Who cares?
That goal last night was something special by him.
It was sublime.
Yeah, it was. And it curled it into the left corner. Would you call that?
Liam Reddy's right side.
Yeah, Liam's right, his left.
Adnan's left.
He went.
The TV
he rounded
was
the...
like the closest side. If you were on the opposite stand, it was on the far post.
Southwestern side. He rounded the wall, didn't he? He curled it round. Or past the wall.
Well, credit to the wall, they didn't jump. Because we've seen in the past that when Thomas Broich was taking free kicks, the wall has jumped.
Against Melbourne Victory, and the Melbourne Victory wall jumped, but Broich
went
underneath.
So credit to the wall for not jumping in that stance. But at the same time, you have to think, if someone did jump up, would they have lost their head? Because that free kick had some power behind it. So I wouldn't have liked to have seen someone decapitated.
Tommy Broich, he was back at this point for the free kick. He'd taken one previously, and it's great to see Thomas Broich back on the pitch, by the way. He's been out for several weeks, and that's coincided.
Same with Henrique.
Yeah, and with Henrique as well, and that's coincided with Brisbane Roar's kind of losing streak, I guess. They've won a few now, but great to see Broich back. In this instance, Broich had taken a free kick previously, and for this second one, Adnan kind of pushed Broich away.
It's like, mine.
It's this
mine.
One's. I got this.
I got this, man. Step back.
I'm having a good game. I think I'll do all right.
Yeah.
And he did.
93rd minute and blasted into the net.
So and then Broich finished it off. And here at the Football Sack, us Sydney FC fans in Pete and myself, we don't like Broich.
No. And I'd tell you someone who else doesn't like Broich, Pascal Boschart.
Oh, yeah.
Those two, a bit of argy-pargy, or as Mark Bosnich would say, a bit of handbags between the two. It was on. It was on last night, that's for sure.
Would you say it was on like Donkey Kong?
I would. I would definitely say it was on like Donkey Kong.
Yeah, yeah. That I guess what we're referring to, if you haven't watched the game, you really should, because this game was one of the most entertaining especially the after game antics off the field by Berisha, who took his shirt off, ran to the sideline through the tunnel and said,
"A bit of a run at me straight, bro."
Yeah, was trying to get Pascal Boschart out into the car park. I can only assume to punch on.
Yeah,
that was what was implied, and from his actions.
But it was good to see that media managers Dan Latto and David Mason could step in and separate this.
And the whole team as well.
The whole team jumped in as well. Players, and separating. And
coaching staff.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Kudos. But I would have liked to have seen a bit of a punch up. Who do you think would have won?
You would have or you wouldn't have?
Who do you think would have won between the boss and Berisha?
Well, I think Scott Condon will have an answer to that in tomorrow's The Crossbar.
Ooh, tempting.
Yeah. So
I think we've even got a boxing poster to advertise this fight.
Yeah, so check that out. It's a few rounds of fighting that I would like to see.
Yeah,
sure. Maybe we should organise that. We'll sponsor it. We'll sponsor the event. Just get them in a ring.
Bring it on. Even Barry Hall from Sydney Swans, he could be like the charity match pre the main event.
Yeah.
So we could get Barry Hall and John Hapuatu or something to be the pre-game show and then bring on the main event.
You know, all this talk of the post-game antics by the two teams. And just by the way, this hasn't been dealt with on the pitch. So whether or not it'll be...
Yeah, the match review panel could look into that.
They will. I'm sure they will look into it. Whether or not there'll be action taken, I think there should be, but whether or not there will be is yet to be determined.
But when please think of the children who were at that game, it's a bad influence for the children.
You know what it was? It was crazy.
It
was crazy scenes happening there. And there is, I don't usually talk EPL, Pete, Supernova, but
we try and avoid it when we can.
But we're going to introduce a new segment. Yes, our new segment is called Keeping Up with Mario Balotelli. He is one of the craziest players that we know over in the EPL, in the same vein that Bessart Berisha is on the field. He is off the field. And Pete, you've got a story as to his latest antics.
Well, I like to keep people up to date with what's happening with Mario Balotelli. Most recently, it actually happened 2 days ago. It was Mario Balotelli turned up at a Manchester college or high school on Thursday. He just rocked up with his mate or his brother, jumped out of his car, which was the Bentley parking out the front, walked in to the school, went to the school canteen, bought himself a drink, walking around the premises of the school like he owns the place. Then went to the staff room and just decided he'd want to go to the toilet there, and then walked around the rest of the school and introduced himself to all the
kids. He owned the place.
Like he owned the place.
But Pete, this isn't the first time that he's been to a school, is it?
No, it isn't, because, well, back in May 2011, so we are going back in time a little bit here, a boy was standing at the front of Manchester City's training ground and asked Mario Balotelli for a autograph. Now, Balotelli being the Mario Balotelli being the adult that he is, he asked the boy, "Why aren't you at school?" And the kid said, "Look, because I'm being bullied." And so Balotelli took his hand, took him in the car, and said, "Look, we're going to your school. We're going to sort this out." So turned up at the headmaster's office and says, what are you going to do to sort out the kids' bullying? How good is that?
It's great. I'd like to know if there was any result as to that. What I see Mario Balotelli as, he's kind of the Robin Hood of Manchester. Yes. Or at least of the blue side of Manchester.
Robbing the rich and giving to the poor. Kudos.
Well, he did give to the poor, didn't he?
He does. Well,
didn't he give $1,000 to a homeless person?
Well, yes, he gave $1,000 to just a homeless person because he liked his ginger beard. And he's been known to give $1,000 to a prostitute after he won $25,000 at a casino.
So this has been our segment on Mario Balotelli. We're naming it Keeping Up with Mario Balotelli. Now, there have been some other games of football happening over here in Australia. Back to Australia. We'll do that segment each week, I think.
Whenever
there's an update in the Mario Balotelli, which will probably be each week.
Yeah, we'll keep you posted with Keeping Up with Mario Balotelli.
Let us know if you like that segment or if you don't like it and you want us to get rid of it.
Or if you know something that Balotelli's doing, send us a tweet. So twitter.com/thefootballsack. Send us a message. Keep us up to date with what Balotelli's up to these days.
Yeah. Look, let's talk Adelaide versus Melbourne Victory.
Victory versus Adelaide, because it was at Amy Park.
We can do that. It would be unfortunate to talk the other game, which I think was very much previously in the year.
Yeah, exactly.
Harry Fuel played good in that game.
He did. So did Dario Fetisic.
Oh, we're talking about the game that just happened a couple of nights ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
We went back in time. Now we've went forward in time. Yeah. We're good now. Yeah.
I think we're present.
Fine. Yeah.
Look, I put a poll on the Football Sack website, and I said that I would give the results to the poll on the podcast, which is
fantastic.
Now. Yeah. See how I'm all tying it in?
I like it. Bit of a drum roll.
Yeah. So great. Thanks to everyone who voted on that poll. The poll was, which player was more instrumental in the game against, which way is it round? Melbourne Victory versus Adelaide United.
Yeah,
that way around. Who is more instrumental, Kuehl or Vidicic?
Ooh.
Who would you have picked?
That's a really tough one, but I would have said Dario Vidicic because I think he had more influence on and off the ball.
It is a really tough one, and all of our all of the people that answer the poll are in like mind because it was 50-50, or I think it was 51-49%.
So it was one of those instances whereby if you flip a coin, it landed on its side because it was just that close.
Yeah, seriously. Plenty of votes, but I believe... Oh, I don't even know who won now because I just thought I'll just call it even. Because that doesn't... One vote, 1% either way doesn't really make a difference.
This is true. But probably one of the other influential people that was on that football field, Eugene Galakovic. Pulled out goals from absolutely nowhere.
He punched the ball a lot.
He did.
I asked the question on Twitter.
I think he was a bit aggressive.
Yeah, I said, does he have some anger management issues at the moment?
Maybe.
He's just punching the ball everywhere.
Maybe the ball said something about his mum or something, so he was just like, ah, punch you.
Those talking balls. Oh. Look, great to see both players in Kuehl and Vidicic playing good football. They are the marquee players, along with Thompson in that match. Great to see that happen, because Thompson also had a good match as well.
Yeah, I'm worried about Thompson, though, because when I was recently up in Brisbane for the New Year's Eve match, it was Brisbane versus Melbourne Victory up there. Now, Melbourne Victory's star man, Archie Thompson, actually gave away one of his football boots to a good friend of mine, Michelle, so people would know her on Twitter as Miss Shoes. So whether or not Archie has actually had the opportunity to buy another boot so he could continue playing, that's an interesting thing. Because he did actually score in that game. So if he did score barefoot, credit to him. And, like, good work to Archie for scoring if he's only wearing one boot.
It would be a bit of a lopsided run.
It would. The stub.
I think we'd have noticed if he wasn't wearing a shoe, though.
Quite possibly.
Look, that game ended in a 1-1 draw. Were fans happy with that?
Yeah.
All fans?
No.
No.
Well,
great amount of Adelaide fans at that game.
Adelaide fans would be happy to be getting a result. Melbourne Victory fans were very happy to get at least a result against Adelaide, especially since it was Jim Magilton's first game in charge.
Yeah.
As a neutral, very, very happy to see a draw in that game. It was deserving of a draw. So, look, credit to Jim Magilton. He's walked into the club and has made some significant changes already at training the players actually look happy to be there, and that's probably the most important thing. They look forward to going to training.
Cozzy maintains his unbeaten run.
Run of Since terror. Reign of terror, I like to think. Two draws and two wins.
He's got a smile on his face these days, so I don't know about the reign of terror.
Well, he goes through a fair few lattes, so I'm not sure if the girls at the cafe are too happy. Well,
it's actually, probably a reign of terror if he runs out of lattes.
Yes, yes. I would not like to see that.
This game was the Cozzy Musket Cup, and I think that goes back to Adelaide.
Pointless competition. But anyway, look.
No, it goes back to Adelaide because they've won previously, I believe.
Yes.
And Fabio got the medal, but Musket picked it. So if the home team picks who wins the medal for that night.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know
how that worked. But another key point of that game was, of course, a little note passed to Harry Kuehl around about the 87th minute, 88th minute. Now, this note is interesting because normally when if you're going to talk tactics, you would just say, "Oh, Harry, go to the left and take on your man," or something like that. But no, instead he was given a note, looked at the note, ripped it up, and walked away. So I'm not sure whether or not Kevin wrote on the note, "I love you," or "keep up the top work," or if a girl in the front row said, "can I have your number, please," or something. But
were you at the ground, anyone, any of our listeners out there, were you at the ground and did you see what was written on the note? Or, alternatively,
if you wrote the note.
Yeah, that's right.
If you wrote that note.
Or are you a groundskeeper at the game and did you pick up the litter?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. If you did, please write a message on our Facebook
wall. Yeah, let us know.
Or let us know on Twitter. That would be really cool because I really want to know what this note said.
Good. and where you can do that, twitter.com/thefootballsack is how you can get in touch. You can also find us on Facebook. And
if you're that way inclined, you can always send us an email.
Send us an email because
info@thefootballsack.com. No one sends us emails anymore. Well, it's a bit lonely. And we have tumbleweeds that float past our email account these days.
That comes directly to us, and we'll probably bring your email up on the podcast.
Maybe, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
Send us an email anyway.
Pete, can you give us a bit of a rundown on the other game that has happened this yesterday?
The other game was the derby, the S3 derby. The big derby between Central Coast Mariners and Newcastle Jets. Now, this was an entertaining match of football. We saw a goal by Labino Halidi straight off the mark at 17 minutes, and then the equaliser by Patrick Svinzvyk, 60th minute. He continues to do everything right, Patrick Svinzvyk, although he does fall over at a gust of wind, so maybe not everything right, but he's doing fairly well. Central Coast can be quite happy with that result, but it was good to see the banter between Gary Van Egmont and Graham Arnold on the sidelines there. Because they used to play together on the national team, and they were good mates off the field as well. So it was good to see that little bit of anger and that banter between the two guys there.
Now, as we speak, sorry to cut you off from that game, but as we speak, I've had a message about this situation between Berisha and Boshart.
We have updates.
A little bit of an update. Just that neither player fronted the presser at the end of the game. The players didn't really know what it was about, but apparently had been carrying on from words said last time they met. Pascal, obviously, not that popular in the Brisbane ranks. It was visible that Franich, Theoklotos, and Carl, they were pushing about a bit. They had a bit of a push around.
Yeah.
And then Pascal was getting a bit of push from fans as well.
Ooh.
The fans came in into the bell. We spotted... The Football Sack spotted Boshart having a bit of a cheeky smoke after the game. Oh, we can reveal that.
Can we actually reveal that? Because if Dr. Craig is listening from Sydney FC right now, I had to say, but Pascal is going to get a slap across the back of the head. and I don't think that's right. But
a cheeky, would he have been chain smoking after that event? Just
fingers crossed he isn't. Because if he is, bummer. Especially since there's a game on Wednesday for Sydney FC.
Yeah,
but if he is chain smoking, so be it. As long as it's not like a train, it's fine.
Can we add in that this is all alleged?
Alleged. if he hasn't been smoking, and if you are Dr. Craig listening right now, and you've just heard us say that we saw someone who looks just like Pascal having a cheeky smoke behind the stand,
his identical twin.
Yes, it's his identical twin, evil twin, in fact.
Yeah.
trying to set it up so Pascal looks bad.
Mm,
so definitely. It wasn't him at
no,
all.
No, because we have a lot of faith in Pascal, don't we?
We do.
He bosses our defense. Boss. Sydney FC's the defense.
Boss. The boss. Keep up that name, the boss. Eventually, if people use the boss enough, maybe Simon Hill will actually know that.
Maybe he'll realize that we do call him that.
The boss, yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Look, that's all the games that have been played over the weekend.
That's it.
Yeah, I mean, there's two more games playing today, in which Miron Blyberg is getting mic'd up for one of them. Coach of Gold Coast United.
First time in the world. That's going to happen.
Murray Shaw was very influential in getting that organised and wanted
credit
to thank
him for that.
Producer at Fox Sports. And he was very happy to thank Miron Blyberg quite a lot for doing that. He said it was a good way to increase the spectacle up at Skilled Park, because without the fans there, and when you only get 1,000, 2,000 people to a match, what else can you do?
Actually, if you belong to the Sydney Olympic School of Counting, it's 20,000. 20,000 there every game.
Every game.
Anyway, yeah.
We'll talk State League in a few months, Pete.
I'm excited for State League.
Yeah, we're warming up to it.
Back to Gold Coast.
Back
for
to
a
Gold
moment.
Coast.
Miron Blyberg, credit to him for getting mic'd up. I think it's an interesting initiative. I wouldn't really say that I'm excited for it, but who knows? It could work out, and it could be an interesting spectacle that only Miron Blyberg does. So he's couldn't be the only person mic'd up in the entire A-League. Everyone knows what he's thinking. Although at that time, people might want to put their TVs on mute.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed him, Miron Blyberg, when he's come on Fox Sports before. Of course, he's come on to the panel for Fox Sports FC, and he's also been involved in showing us some of his tactics prior to one of the matches.
The squiggly lines.
The squiggly lines all across the whiteboard.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Now, I thought I'd go through some of the articles that are up on the Football Sack website currently.
How many articles are up there at the moment? A lot.
To date, I think we've got...
We've got over 800.
Over 800, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting closer and closer to that lucky 1,000 post.
What should we do when we get to 1,000 posts?
I think we should hold a party.
We like having the odd party. When we turned 1 year old, we all
had a
cupcakes
party.
And had fun, didn't we?
We did. So I don't know if people know what we should do for our 1,000th post on our blog or something.
Yeah. Let us know.
Let us know.
Info
yeah.
at thefootballsack.com. Yes.
Invite us to your party. We'll even MC your party if you are having a football sack party. How cool does that sound?
Yeah. Very cool.
Awkward.
No, look, on our website currently, each week, Thea Slatcher has been putting up a blog. She's a player for Sydney FC's W League team.
Yep.
Great player.
Yeah.
Well.
Standout player.
Standout? Well, they haven't been performing. They lost to Brisbane. So
that game never happened. Next. Next post. Who else?
We keep losing to Brisbane. So you can check out her weekly posts. She goes really in depth with her training schedule and just a story every now and then of her Matilda's travelings.
Yeah. So kudos to you, Thea, and
thank you very much for being involved. Sack.
Thank you.
You know what else we've had?
What's that?
This past week, the Football Sack has adopted a team.
No way.
And we just thought,
who did
we
adopt?
We were feeling really, you know, paternal.
Yeah.
So
Christian going through his time in the month.
Yeah, totally.
Sorry, that's so mean.
We have adopted a futsal team and the Victorian under 14s girls team. And they went off to the national futsal titles, in Canberra recently.
Cool.
This past week. They've been there all week.
So how's our team doing?
Yeah, well, we picked a winner.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
All this past week, Craig Stockland has been reporting under the alias of Stocky Scribbles.
Ooh.
He's been reporting every day.
Interesting name.
I kind of like it. So he's been giving us updates every day from the futsal titles up in Canberra. And our team, the Victorian under 14 girls team, won the grand final.
Really?
They won the grand final. Yeah.
Well done.
Round of applause. We'll give you a clap for that.
Good work.
Good work to all the girls there. There's a match report from that grand final, along with some pictures of the girls happy as can be. at the football futsal titles. That's the first title, the first women's titles that the Victorians have won. So the national championships, that's the first they've won in any
Kudos.
Kind of level.
And it's all because of us. All because of us at the football side. Well, if we didn't adopt them, would they have got as far as they did?
I do feel that they got a bit of our luck. A bit of our luck rubbed off on their team. So congrats. Congratulations, yeah, I think, goes to them.
Good work.
Because it wasn't all us. It was partly their team.
Oh, if you think so. If you think so.
But the whole week, if you want to read the whole week's action, you can read that on Stocky Scribbles.
Good work. And I have an article up there. I have an opinion piece.
A little opinion piece.
Thanks for that. Going a bit of a rant.
Yeah. Tell us about that.
It's all about A-League, NRL, and AFL. Why can't we be friends? I'm not going to give too much away, but I just like to think that fans from other sporting codes, they're just fans that we haven't looked at yet. If you market it correctly, it could work out. And credit to the guys at Nathan Tinkler up in Newcastle and the Hutter Sports Group, who are doing everything right up there. So stay tuned for that.
Can we give a Simpsons quote here? Is it really bad to do and say, us strangers, just an A-League fan you've never met? Yeah?
Yeah, okay, cool. We'll make that into a musical. We'll make it into a musical around that theory.
Yeah. No, it's a really good article. Quite thought-provoking, I would say.
Yeah. Well, I like the a lot of commentaries going on at the moment. A lot of people are getting involved with their opinions. So have a look. That's footballsack.com. That's the website. Have a look at it.
Thefootballsack.com.
Thefootballsack.com.
Yeah, check it out. Because I think footballsack on its own.com, that's an American football term.
Ooh.
That,
so don't click on that. So click on thefootballsack.com. Yeah.
I'm not actually sure whether footballsack.com is a registered domain.
Having a look now.
We should register it, if not, because a lot of people are probably heading there and finding other people other than us. I know we don't have .au. Maybe we should register that.
Quite possibly. I think we should.
You know it's more expensive to register a .au? It's like
apparently
$100.
Apparently, is an actual website. It's for the NFL, so yeah. American Gridiron right there.
Because football sacking, when you a sack in football is something, it's an actual term.
The best sacking site on grass, along with NFL and NCAAF picks.
Yeah.
So there you go. So don't go to footballsack.com. Go on to thefootballsack.com.
When Christian and I thought up of this name, The Football Sack, we just thought it was a nice pun that we'd a bit of innuendo there. But no, it's an actual. Thank you. We were talking about scrubs earlier, and yeah.
Next.
Yeah. Look, so to surmise, there's plenty of great articles up on thefootballsack.com, and you should check them out. Also on there, we talked about it a bit last week, there's the Hyundai A-League Ladder Predictor, and that predicts every match. Well, you predict the match, and then it'll update the ladder accordingly.
Yeah, I predicted that Sydney FC beat Brisbane Roar 64-0.
How did that go for you?
Very well.
Did you touch wood when you did that?
Oh, no, I didn't. That was really depressing. But that's it.
Yeah. Sad times. We are still, as you can tell, we are still depressed here in the studio.
But look, there are plenty of games to keep you going during the week, in fact. Sydney FC on the Wednesday night are out in Campbelltown at Campbelltown Stadium against Perth Glory. They're 5:30 kickoff there. So take a sickie from work and we'll even write you a note. Say that you can have
much like Kevin Muscat gave to Harry Kuehl, we'll write you a note and say, look, you can head along to that. Make sure you buy a ticket, though.
Because
it's not counted in your membership.
It's not in your membership, so buy a ticket. The other game, which is happening on Wednesday, is Melbourne Heart versus Central Coast Mariners at Amy Park. That game kicks off at 7:30 p.m.
Great.
Done.
Plenty of football this week. Look, that is all we've got time for, I believe, on the Football Sack podcast. The Sack on Sunday. Pete Nowakowski, Supernova Pete.
Supernova.
Thank you for coming on the show.
No worries.
Can I make a quick note that, because you're taking a back seat now.
I am.
From the Football Sack social media.
Correct.
And we've got a new guy coming in.
David Manuka.
Yeah, up and coming. He's a star. He's based down in Melbourne. I believe he's a Melbourne Heart supporter.
He is, and he's also doing an internship with Melbourne Heart. So if you do follow Melbourne Heart, there's a good chance that you're listening to already what David Manuka says.
Yeah. So he's going to be our new social media manager.
I like to say dude instead of manager. Social media dude.
The SMD.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's our new SMD. but no, so plenty of new things to be coming up socially from the Football Sack. That's all we've got time for. Thank you for joining us on the show. Keep listening to The Sack on Sunday. My name is Matt Greenlaw. This has been The Sack on Sunday.
That was the Football Sack podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.